Shlomo Mintz is considered one of the finest violinists of his generation. New York Times music critic John Rockwell described Mintz as a sovereign technician and poetic interpreter. The 32-year-old soloist is also the music director of the Israel Chamber Orchestra. Shlomo Mintz was born in Moscow and emigrated with his family to Israel when he was 2. When he was 11, he made his concert debut with Zubin Mehta and the Israel Philharmonic. At the recommendation of Isaac Stern, he came to the States to study at Juilliard. Before we meet him, let's listen to a passage from the second movement of Prokofiev's Sonata for Violin and Piano No. 1 in F minor, with Yefim Bronfman at the piano. Ask you about playing the second movement of Prokofiev's first sonata for violin and piano. It's a very moody movement, and I wonder what you're thinking about when you're playing it, if you're thinking at all when you're playing it.
Well, the second movement basically should also be looked at not as a specific movement, but one should actually try to listen to the whole piece to see that it has a very breaking mood, sort of a destructive, almost destructive mood from, that is a big change from the previous movement. Generally speaking, I mean, this music is very, very close to me. Prokofiev is a sort of a composer that has a lot of substance to it, melodical substance, as well as being very innovative for his own period. And besides those two points, very important points, he's also a very Russian composer. So, and I suppose I have a little bit of a Russian mix in me.
Mm-hmm.
So I seem to be very close to the music, yes.
Do you ever sing a passage of music to just get the feeling of it without having to worry about performing it, but just to feel the music before worrying about mastering the technique? And
sometimes I do, but my voice is so terrible. I mean, sometimes I do. I think that we, especially the string instruments, are the closest to the voice.
And in range.
In range. And yes, one would try to sing it because, you know, breathing, for example, is for us almost as identical as it is for singers. So it's very natural. That even if I don't try to sing it, I try to hum it and say, well, wait a minute, let me see the way a singer would do it. It's almost a natural for us. And sometimes I don't even do it because I imagine automatically the way a singer would do it.
So you have to learn to breathe in between phrases.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, we've done a Mozart concerto together with Riccardo Muti in Philadelphia. And I was very happy to see that Riccardo Muti, this was the first time I was with him on stage, and I was very happy to feel that he was really breathing the phrases while he was conducting. And I must say, there are very, very, very few conductors that actually take the time and deeply feel the phrase from a breathing point of view.
You were a prodigy. Did you feel managed and pressured any of the time when you were young?
Well, I went through a period where, yes, I was under a certain discipline, and one would spend a lot of time thinking, why am I doing this? And should I not be a lawyer or an accountant? Or but yes, I went through this period. But I know today that there is nothing else I'd rather do but be in music, because it covers so many things in life to people who really want to understand it.
Usually prodigies have parents who are very invested in their child's musical success. Did you ever feel that your parents wanted it too bad?
Well, perhaps they wanted it very, very much. But just to understand the mentality, I came from a rather unique family, because my father was 18 years in Siberia in a prison camp. He wanted to play violin all his life, and he couldn't because of that and because of economic difficulties. So he wanted his son to play the violin, and the best proof was that when I was 2 months old, he got me a violin. And so one should say that my parents were slightly anxious, but they were not over anxious, because on the other hand, my childhood was a happy childhood. There was a very healthy mix of very hard work and total letting steam out time with friends and relatives and everything, playing football, etc. And not really trying to spare my hands from this or that. It's important. It's an important point to remember, because today I'm not too fussy about lifting bags and carrying difficult tasks. It made me grow as a healthy person. I was not only your fragile violinist.
Well, I get the impression you've seen a lot of musicians who you feel didn't grow up in a healthy way.
In a way, yes.
Very neurotic.
In a way, and in a way, you're aware of the fact that art must have very healthy connections with life. It cannot be totally apart. We cannot swim in a God knows where world. And on the other hand, yes, we must have a very strong dimension to metaphysics, because we are the passageway for the audience who come and listen to us.
You've had a very international career, coming from Russian parents, growing up in Israel, then moving to the United States to study. Now you conduct the Israel Chamber Orchestra. You perform around the world. You live, at least most of the time, I think, in the United States. Do you think that...
We live in Europe, too.
Oh, okay.
And I have a family of two kids. My wife was born in Germany to an Estonian parent. My son was born in Lugano. The other son was born in Bonn.
Well, do you think that...
We have a house in New York.
Well, very, very international.
I can continue.
Do you feel that different nationalities bring different styles to music? I mean, when you're in a different country, or when you're playing with musicians from different countries, do you feel that there's a different accent, so to speak, to the music? And do you feel that growing up in different countries affected you? And, studying with teachers of different nationalities?
Well, the answer to your question is yes. I think that a person also carries his own set of experiences. And if you play, for example, say with a European musician, his education must have been slightly different approach to the instrument than, say, with American students or artists. But no, I don't really try to play in a different way, say, in Europe or in Japan than in the United States. Only because one has to be convinced. I think one has to follow a certain path individually, in an unhurried way, rather than try to divide the countries and try to please the audiences where they are.
Thanks so much for talking with
Thank
us.
Thank you.